We're going to jump back in our Bibles today, back to the book of Joshua, chapter 4. There are pew Bibles in front of you should you choose to read along. You can find it on page 187 in the pew Bibles. The story today actually comes right after the second and lesser known parting of the waters on behalf of Israel. It's no less monumental, though. Here in this story, the wandering Israelites are stuck in the desert wilderness, and they're finally turning their gaze toward home. They are about to cross the Jordan and into the promised land. And it's not Moses who leads them, but Joshua and the Ark of the Covenant with those commandments written on them. As the toes of the priest carrying that ark touch the water stops flowing. And everything downstream flows to the sea. And once again, the people of Israel walk upon dry ground. I'll be reading from Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 8, and then skipping to verse 19 through 24. When the entire nation had finished crossing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Select 12 men from the people, one from each tribe, and command them, 'Take 12 stones from here, out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood. Carry them over with you and lay them down in the place where you camp tonight.' Then Joshua summoned the 12 men from the Israelites, whom he had appointed, one from each tribe. Joshua said to them, 'Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder, one for each of the tribes of the Israelites, so that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off in front of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the Israelites a memorial forever.' The Israelites did as Joshua commanded. They took up 12 stones out of the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord told Joshua, carried them over with them to the place where they camped, and laid them down there." And skipping now to verse 19. "The people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the month, and they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. Those 12 stones which they had taken out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal, saying to the Israelites, 'When your children ask their parents in time to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know, Israel crossed over the Jordan here on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we crossed over, so that all the people of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, and so that you may fear the Lord your God forever.'" This is the word of the Lord. There are, of course, powerful and miraculous events in this story. As the waters dry up and the people cross that river bottom without having to get their sandals wet. In this story, God acts decisively and definitively for the people, as they take their first steps into the land that would be their new home. But in the midst of this story, which is a rather simple one, there is this valuable lesson for us to talk about today. You see, as they cross that river, 12 men, one from each tribe of Israel, they go into that riverbed and pull up stones. Not the kind that David threw at Goliath, but heaping stones. The story we read says that the men had to carry them on their shoulders. just to get them across to the other side. These things were heavy. And when they did, they make a kind of monument, a memorial to the events that had just occurred. And while it's not clear exactly how they were set up, whether they were piled up or set next to each other or set in a circle, they were large enough and memorable enough that when children were going to see them, their curiosity would be piqued. And they would ask them, "What is this about?" And the answer would come, "Because God did something great here." This is our very human response when we experience something that profoundly affects us. We want to find some way to mark it, to claim it, to remember it by. These days, we don't necessarily take really large stones out of rivers and just lay them around, but we do take photographs. We are constantly taking photographs. Everybody has a ready-made camera on them these days. It's in your pocket. And when something we want to remember happens, we take it out and we take a picture as fast as we can. Well, to be honest, in our family, Amy is the one taking photos. You see, I forget to even have a camera on me at all. Actually, this is so true that when I gave her a collage of photos of her and the family, I was forced to make it exclusively out of selfies, because I have not taken any pictures of my family in a really long time. So except for me, at least, we all take photos. And while these photos are only a picture of a few hundredths of a second in our lives, these photos point beyond themselves, don't they? They point to something greater. They remind us of a story. Without the benefits of pocket cameras, the Israelites shouldered these boulders and walked them out to the encampment. And they laid them there. And why did they go through all of that trouble? Because they were supposed to remember. But not just them. Their children would ask, what's this all about? And they would remember, and they would have a story to go along with it, a story about God's faithfulness. And what a story it really was. A story from their paths that has great effect on their lives now. But the stones here in this story represent more than just the story of the river that day. They are the story of everything that came before and the building blocks for everything that would come after. 12 stones brought from the river, each carried by a man from one of the 12 tribes. Alone, one stone points to the story of one particular family, one of those tribes. But together, those 12 stones, they point to the larger story of the entire community that crossed the river that day. 12 tribes choosing to be one people, united here in this moment, as they recall what God has done for them. What has God has done for them in their flight from Egypt, in their flight to Egypt first, and then their flight from Egypt. What God has done for them in their wilderness journey. And now here at this river crossing, together, these 12 stones mean more than they could apart. I have had the pleasure of sitting down at family parties and looking at pictures through a slide projector. Now, I realize that if you are under the age of 25, you have no idea what I am talking about right now. But we would sit around in a semicircle. My dad or somebody else would turn on the slide projector. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? We'd turn on the slide projector up, and up on the screen would flash through a film negative, through a picture negative. It would flash up a photo from our childhood. And we would sit staring at that screen, and inevitably some photographs would just pass unnoticed. Not important photos, but most would prompt a story. Stories about our adventures at Disney World, memories of events at the family cabin. And when we did this, this same activity with our extended families, we would have the privilege of hearing family stories recounted. Stories about my mother's and father's childhood. Stories I had never heard before. And they would bring laughter and memories that would be shared with us. And they weren't our stories. They weren't exactly my story. Yet, within me, there would be this deeper connection to the stories. These stories were our stories. Our story together as a family. And though I was not even yet alive, they were my stories as well. You may have noticed when I read the scripture this morning that it repeated itself a whole lot. That the same words would keep coming back around. Well, really, it almost repeated itself. Every time the words repeated, it would change just a little. In both times when the children came in to focus, when the children were supposed to ask the question, what are these stones for? It got almost word for word the same answer. Almost. The first time, it's almost entirely past tense and in the third person. When they ask, you will tell them that sometime in the past, the river was dried up and the people walked safely on dry ground. But the second time the question is repeated, it switches to second person pronouns. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you crossed over. As the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which God dried up for us until we crossed over. The stones and the story that is told because of them unite the people of God into a community shaped by what God has done and by what God is doing among them. The memories of the past serve as a basis for hope that God's going to continue to act into the future. And the memories of the past connect them in vital ways as the it happened to them becomes it happened to me. As Amy was explaining earlier, this summer, we are going to be picking up and laying down stones in this congregation, from among the congregation. We're not really going to be picking up actual physical stones, but the stones we are going to be carrying are the stories of one another. Our summer worship series is all about telling our stories. Stories both from our past and from our present. Stories of faith in real life. And to do this, to be able to do this, that we are going to have to risk, you are really going to have to risk telling your story, sharing your stories. One of the true things about this congregation is that we come from all over the area. There are people here from Kyle and New Braunfels and San Marcos and Wimberley and Canyon Lake. We are also different in our backgrounds, our upbringings, and in our work lives. We come here connected in worship, but in the rest of our lives, we are separated. Since Amy and I arrived here 6 years ago, this church has changed drastically. We have grown a little bit in our numbers here, but we've gotten younger as well, as you can see by all the children that lined this front. And some of the people who have been with us a really long time are no longer with us anymore. This all means that we simply don't know each other as well as we could. That we don't know each other's stories. And we think that we need to. We believe that sharing our stories will bring the community closer together. Because just like when I used to look at those slideshows with my grandparents and aunts and uncles, and I found myself included. When we hear the stories from the midst of this community, the stories about God's faithfulness in the midst of real life, we will move from this happened to them to this happened to us. The truth about storytelling, it deeply connects us to one another. Community is built on stories. The stories that we share and the stories that we tell. And when we share our personal stories, the stories of others become our story as well, as we are all united together in this overarching and still unfolding story of God. We hope this summer that you would be willing to share your stories with us as we grow together in faithfulness and in the faithfulness of God. So that all peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, and so that we may fear the Lord our God forever. Amen. Please stand and join us in song.